Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And fabulous service department, great technicians to back this up for the life of the vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call today. There's nothing like a game winner that ends up being a grand slam.
The infield is in. The outfield is surprisingly deep. Muncy with a fly ball to right. This is going to be a walk-off. Grand slam! Over the small wall and right, a big celebration awaits. Muncy rounding third. His team is now going to pound on the bench.
Charlie Steiner with the call on the Dodgers Network. The Phillies pitching has been, to be kind, bad. All the way through, it just has not been good. They've got to make a decision on Strom. I think Strom's going to the bullpen, which is actually his strongest area to begin with. Aaron Nola has lost some MPH off the fastball. They have a problem. I think they felt, and justifiably felt, that they had their pitching solved last year, and they were optimistic about that heading into this year, and now a month in, it has been a huge problem. One other stadium note for you. We talked about Beaver Stadium. The Erie County Legislature in New York approved the Bills' new stadium agreement this afternoon as well. So they're going to construct that. It's going to be a 65,000-seat stadium, $1.4 billion project, $850 million in public money. They say it'll be ready for the 2026 season. Construction at the new site is scheduled to begin this spring. See, that's the difference. They're starting this spring. That's why it'll be ready in 26. Penn State needs to get to the architectural part of it with design first and then accelerate it through. All right. I know you've been itching to complain about something. Here's your chance.
So I don't know if you got a chance to see the Rays-Pirates game yesterday.
No.
All right. So Wander Franco at short took a ground ball, did one of those fancy flip in the airs back to on his bare hand, and then threw it over to first. It was an easy play, routine ground ball. So a lot of people have been ripping him because, it's the style thing, because I think he also did something showy when he had a home run later in the game. So there's a lot of Pirate fans that have had a problem with that. I have a problem with it, not because of the style thing. I have no problem with that, especially when somebody hits a home run. But I just want you to get the out. Stop messing around and get the out. Because you never know. Someone may decide to hustle it out, and then all of a sudden you're taking your lollygagging fancy time and you miss it, or maybe you drop the ball and you commit an error, or you make a bad throw and you overthrow the first baseman and you make an error. So just stop it with the nonsense and get the play and get the out and move on. That's where I come from. Nothing to do about style. It's just, first of all, it's still May in the season. The Rays are off to a good start. Just make the play and be done with it. That's all. There's none of this fanciness you want to do about it. Just make the play. That's all I'm asking. I'd much rather see him make the play than try to be fancy about it and you miss. Because then you look like an idiot. So, enough with the antics, Franco. Just play the game.
You got the out, right?
Yeah, he got the out, but I'd rather you just get to it and get the out than try to be fancy about it.
It's a show.
Correct, but it's not a show if you mess up trying to be a show.
Ooh. That's why the suit's in the front office now. No, I'm just kidding.
F-O-U-L-E-G, that spells foul stuff.
Just too easy. Too easy. Do we have the king on today?
We do have the king today.
Oh, very nice. All right. All right. By the way, scores of other games. And if you want to call in about the Beaver Stadium deal, go ahead. And then a little bit thing on baseball I'm going to get to. Angels lead the Cardinals 11-7, bottom of the ninth in St. Louis. Mariners lead the A's 2-1, top of the third. Essentially, that game's over. Rays beat the Pirates today 3-2, four-game sweep for Tampa Bay. Orioles end a 6 lead at Kansas City 8-7. Braves and Marlins scoreless top of the first. Twins and White Sox 2-2, bottom of the eighth in Chicago. Tigers spoiled the return of Justin Verlander today. Beat the Mets 2-0. And in the top of the fifth, the Brewers lead at Coors over the Rockies 2-0. Verlander, by the way, gave up back-to-back home runs. Eddie Rodriguez, 7-8 scoreless innings.
Here's a stat for you about the Mets. We were just dumping on the A's yesterday, as we should. But the Mets have been shut out 6 times out of their first 24 games this year. The only other team to do that, the Royals, who are only 8 wins right now.
Right. Riley Green and Javi Baez hit back-to-back homers off Verlander. The Mets are 16-15. So,
yeah, it's not good right now in New York, with both teams virtually with the same record.
NBA tonight, big win, Lakers-Warriors. 9 o'clock, ESPN. Lakers won the opener. Stanley Cup tonight. Florida is at Toronto and Seattle, and Florida won the opener. Seattle won the opener. Kraken and Stars tonight in Dallas. So there you are. Those are the big games going on tonight. Your Yankees do not play tonight. That means no press conferences defending whatever it is they're doing. And I have no idea what they're doing.
No, me neither. That press conference by Brian Cashman yesterday was a borderline embarrassment.
I didn't really see it. I just get the impression that he defended his people, and I have no problem with anybody defending their people. It just seemed to me that I just glanced at it, not him talking, but it just seemed like he was defending people, right?
Basically, yeah. I loved how we said, don't count us out. You know what? How about we get some good personnel first, Cashman?
Oh, you're the one that was high on the team at the beginning of the year.
To a point. I thought they were about as good as last year. That's about it. I don't think they got any better than last year. There's still no depth offensively. There's still injuries. And now you got issues with the pitching overall. And to me, you have no closer. Clay Holmes is officially unreliable. He should not be the closer anymore. If I'm Boone, I make it Wandy Peralta for right now. He's too inconsistent. Clay Holmes.
I'm friends with him.
Oh, my almighty!
He started his career here at State College. All right. Yeah, now you're making it personal.
I just give you my honest opinion.
Paul Newberry writes about, in the Associated Press, another domino falls for MLB expansion. And he says the A's moving to Las Vegas, the last hurdle to 32 major league teams is what happens, he says, with Tampa Bay. All right. So we'll take Tampa Bay to the side. And he ran down what he thought were the expansion possibilities that two of this group would get in. Nashville. Nashville is has a lot going for it. Location, well-organized group that includes Dave Stewart, the former A's pitcher, Tony La Russa, big hitters in the country music industry. So they, you know, the negative is they need to build a new stadium. And remember, Nashville's already built a 30,000-seat facility for MLS, and they also agreed to $1.2 billion to build, yes, a domed football stadium for the Titans. But they are the leader in the clubhouse. Charlotte, most populous U.S. metro city, 2.7 million. Natural rival for the Braves, but far enough away to not infringe on attendance. The negative is, if Nashville gets one, would they put two Southern teams in? I think not. And by the way, they would have to build a new ballpark. Their new ballpark, their new minor league ballpark, when I mean new, it's the last 15 years, is really, really nice. But it's not expandable. Montreal. We all know about the Expos. We all know that Jackie Robinson with the Royals, okay, started his career. The problem is they need a retractable roof stadium, and in Canada, I don't think they're going to get it. Portland. They have some soccer, and they have the Trailblazers. And the Portland Diamond Project, they might name the team the Mavericks. They have plans for a new stadium. On paper, it looks great, but they, again, is going to rely on private funding. Salt Lake City, smallest of the group, at 1.2 million, but still larger, by the way, in population, than four major league cities. Now, look, the Wasatch Front region goes from Ogden all the way down south to Provo, so they got 2.7 million there. So they have some things going for them. And they already have the Utah Jazz there. And the owners of the Jazz, by the way, are leading the way on this. They think the winners, according to Paul Newberry, think the winners will be Nashville and Portland, and I agree with that. So he would then break baseball down into 8 four-team divisions. So this is what, and Ed from Georgia sent me this article, by the way. So, Ed, thanks so much. Appreciate it. American League East, the Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees, and Blue Jays. He then puts in the American League Central, the White Sox, Guardians, Detroit Tigers, Minnesota Twins. In the American League South, he would put in the Astros, the Kansas City Royals, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Texas Rangers. And in the West, he would put the Las Vegas Athletics, the LA Angels, the Portland Mavericks, and the Seattle Mariners. And yes, the Mariners are all for Portland getting a team because it cuts down on their travel. National League, he would put the Mets, the Phillies, the Pirates, and the Nationals all in the same division. Major League Baseball really did Pennsylvania wrong when they came up with the convoluted split between the Pirates and the Phillies. That makes no sense at all. What is it about the Marlins or the Braves that make them more attractive than having the Pirates there? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why the Pirates are in the Central. They should be in the same division with the Phillies. That's what he has. Mets, Phillies, Pirates, Nationals. National League Central, Cubs, Rockies, Brewers, Cardinals. National League South, Braves, Cincinnati Reds, Miami Marlins, Nashville Stars. And they will be called, by the way, the Nashville Stars if they get in. And the West, it'll be the D-backs, the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants. I mean, this makes complete sense to me. I mean, there's a lot of common sense in what he wrote there. So, there you go. That is, that's one man's idea. Any complaints on your part?
I think I'm good now.
Can I get that Yankee thing off your chest?
Yes.
I mean, you're in a state of shock that Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are both on the IL.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
You're shocked by that?
Not by Stanton. I guess really not by Judge either, because I figured something was going to happen eventually.
He's had one healthy season in the last six. Come on.
But
that's what I kept trying to tell you. He's not going to get the 62 home runs again because he's not going to be able to play the whole season.
But I definitely expect more of it from Stanton. He can pull a hammy by just, like, stretching it.
I know. It is just the way it is. And it's all part of the game. I mean, you've got a lot of pitchers right now that are on the IL. A lot of pitchers on the IL. Some say it's maybe from the pitch clock. Not as much time between pitches. I know that the one thing they would like to amend, the players would be to go 20 seconds between pitches with nobody on base, which is the same number that you have when somebody is on base. I think that would be worthy of discussion. And here's one that's interesting. The Phillies have asked Major League Baseball to grant a grace for Bryce Harper tomorrow night at the plate, because they know when he comes to the plate tomorrow, he is going to get a long, passionate ovation. My guess is they will not get it approved. Because when Cody Bellinger went back to Los Angeles with the Cubs, they gave him a long, passionate ovation. He absorbed it, tipped his cap, got a strike. They are not amending these rules for anybody. And I think that there has to be a level of common sense. And I understand you don't want to start messing around with exceptions here and there. I do understand it. But common sense tells you Bryce Harper is coming back and playing in Philadelphia. They're going to want to salute him, which is good for the game. It is good for the sport. But I don't think they're going to let him. I don't think they're going to let him have it. I don't think they're going to let him have it. I think he's going to have to get in the box, and if he steps out to tip his cap, guess what? It's going to be a strike.
Well, also, too, it became a dangerous situation for him in the game yesterday where he didn't have enough time to try on his elbow guard because of the pitch count clock once he made it on base.
Yeah.
So he had to slide into home plate, too, but luckily he did feet first. and was able to keep his arm out of the way. But, yeah, I think that's something that Major League Baseball should probably look at.
He couldn't get the guard up over the elbow, you know, and he was struggling to do it, and he just took the thing off and threw it away. Like, okay. But they're not making exceptions on that either. Okay. Now, the batter is allowed a disengagement, right? Well, if the batter is allowed a disengagement, then why don't you just step out of the box and let him put the guard on? Just a thought. But he's going to have to get in the box, and either he does a disengagement right out of the gate, or he better be ready to hit, or we're going to give him a strike. And the Phillies have asked Major League Baseball for the exemption, and I'm telling you, they're not going to get it.
Well, I guess you have to hope that the home plate umpire understands the situation, like they did for Drew Maggi in Pittsburgh.
Nope. Not going to do it. No, he got... Maggie got... By the way, Maggie got a violation.
But I thought the umpire stepped out, though, and let him have his moment when he first came up in his first Major League debut.
And then they gave... Then he called him for... Eventually, on the second pitch, he called him for a violation.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot he did get that later in the at-bat. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's I know they're trying to stay away from granting exceptions because they think it'll lead to other exemptions. But I think there's going to be a little level of common sense. I mean, Bryce Harper's coming back. One of your biggest stars, and the fans are going to want to salute him because the guy busted his you-know-what to get back in time. So, all right, take a break. Come back. King in a moment. Aaron News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, gray pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that backs it all up with a great group of technicians. Great group of technicians. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in the king.
I did remind him, but I don't see him here on the lines.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that we will get him here at some point. It's been a big day with the... everything has gone, you know, the way you thought it would go. I mean, you knew, you know, let's face it, I think everybody knew that that the committee, you know, it's all organized, set to go. They knew they would get it through, and now the full board will consider it tomorrow on all the athletic projects. And to be honest with you, the athletic projects, you know where I always deal with. I always deal with everything from a viewpoint of common sense. Common sense says this is the time to do it. You've needed something for Jeffrey Field for a long time. Common sense says you need to have a training table within the complex. Common sense says that you need, now's the time, you can't keep kicking the can down the road for Beaver Stadium. And the same thing with the second floor of Lash. So, I mean, that's just common sense. And the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost. All right. He is here, ladies and gentlemen, the King.
What up? Sorry I'm late. I had a cornhole commissioner meeting. So, and then he had some other questions and stuff like that. And,
oh, my almighty!
Cornhole, I didn't know you played.
Go. He's 90 years old. He's the sweetest guy in the world.
That's amazing.
And I took over for him, so, and then I kind of screwed the first week up, but oh well. So he's tutoring me through it.
How's your game, though? In the actual game of cornhole. How's your actual game of cornhole?
Mine? I suck. I'm like, you know, the first time I went down there, I was like, look, this is going to be funny. This is going to be a bloodbath, you know? They are so good, these guys. And it was a horseshoe league, but they couldn't, the horseshoes got too heavy for them. So they switched to the cornhole.
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
This year, because you can't call it, the editor of the newspaper here where I live didn't want to put the name cornhole in the paper. So I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, my wife said you never should have raised your hand and volunteered. I said,
what's wrong with cornhole?
We'll get through. What?
What's wrong with cornhole in the paper?
Well, I don't think I can tell you out there. I didn't know either, but in the Midwest, it means something.
Okay, now I see
bad.
What you're saying. Yeah, so I got you.
That's
now.
All. That's okay. All I'll say. And she said, I'm a lady from the Midwest, and in the Midwest, this is a bad word. And I'm like, well, it's on ESPN. It's on everything. So then I got all these guys mad at me. They said, how can you cave into her? I said, well, what am I supposed to do? She said, she's a lady. She doesn't want to type that word. So I changed the name to Corn Toss, which made them even madder. And then the whole place here, there's 300 families live here, voted on it and voted that cornhole was okay. So, you know.
Can we just play the game? That's what I would get into at this point.
Well, I had to advertise it.
All right.
You know, that it was starting in April and I had to make announcements. And then I would make my announcements and she'd change what I wrote. I'm like, oh, man, this is...
Oh, boy.
Then the other guy tells me, she's been trying to do this for 15 years, and she got you to do it. I'm like, all right, this isn't going well. So, anyway, it's all as well that ends well, and the league has started, and we've had two good weeks, and we're off and running. So you know how I keep notebooks, Steve, right?
Yeah, you do.
Yep, I've got all my notes. I've got all my... I made one small... It's like Chuck just told me. He said, people don't realize how running this is difficult. We have seven teams. It's an odd number. And when you have an odd number of teams, it's odd. So one team can't play three games in a night. So it's complicated. It's like algebra. So, but we'll get through it. So.
And everybody's
anyway,
still hard over the Bruins anyway.
Boy,
so.
Philly got trounced last night. Huh?
Yeah, that wasn't pretty. But you know what? Hey, it just wasn't their night. If Boston wants to make 30 threes in one game, that's fine. Then if they go 0 for 30 on Friday night, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, the Celtics are a strange team. They
really are.
Yeah, they turn it on when they want to, and they turn it off when they want to. very strange, and I don't think they're coached very well. So the other night, Marcus Smart got up off the bench, and he said, I think he said Joe, but he said, Joe needs a blow, I'm going in the game, and put himself in the game. And I kind of thought the coach was supposed to do that. But
yeah, that's Marcus Smart for you.
The press is so, God, between the Bruins, and you can't make it up.
I love
now,
it.
What do you guys think of this? Because this spans more teams. This was their big topic today. And I know you guys hate the Boston area, but it's got to do with Parcells and all that. That, what's his name? The coach of Tennessee Titans?
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, he's going in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I saw that.
He was nominated. Bill Parcells did not get nominated again. Does Bill Parcells belong in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yes, he
brought them absolutely.
To a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He brought them to a Super Bowl.
He coached like 3 years.
Yep. He brought them to a Super Bowl.
And he put the team back on the map, and then when Belichick took over, they took him to another level, but Parcells got the ball rolling.
Yeah, he got the ball rolling, but and I agree with you. There's no question. But what bugs me is when people say the Patriots dynasty, they say, was it Brady or was it Belichick?
Yeah, you know? It's always been a ridiculous argument.
But when they talk about Parcells, they don't talk about Brady at all. Parcells didn't win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. He went to a Super Bowl but lost. Things changed for the Patriots with Tom Brady. They got better. But it's not like Brady came to the Patriots because they were so good. He just kind of fell in their lap. I think the dynasty of the New England Patriots is Tom Brady, not Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick, that they would not have won anywhere. And people don't realize that the Patriots easily could have won two more Super Bowls. David Tyree catching a ball on his helmet. You know, they could have eight with Brady as quarterback. So anyway, that was interesting to me.
Well, remember too, though, that one Super Bowl, the Patriots defense didn't allow a touchdown and won, and Brady only produced 10 points. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other Super Bowl win, the Patriots had an interception at the goal line defensively. So it's, you know, look, I think that Brady doesn't win six without Belichick. Belichick doesn't win six without Brady. I think it's always the combination. There's stuff that Belichick brought to the table organizationally, defensively, systematically, that Brady then, for his part, made work. And I think if you take one away, he's not as successful. You take one away from the other guy, he's not as successful. The combination is incredibly successful, and it wasn't like Belichick didn't win two Super Bowls with the Giants.
Yeah. I think Belichick's one of those coaches just like Phil Jackson. You know, you got great players, you win.
You can mess up great players. I've seen there are times... The legendary college basketball coach, Guy Lewis, he got Houston to the Final Four several times, but he couldn't they couldn't quite get over the top. But he had ultra-talented teams. And he said, hey, there's just some days you roll the ball out. Look, there are days where great coaching is getting out of the way. And that's what, you know, sometimes less is more. It's, you know, and there are times where I felt like people have had to really coach to get the best out of a limited, talented team, some of the best coaching I've seen. But I've seen people overcoach teams. You know, like, get out of the way. Let them play. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to be able to look at something and assess it. How much do I need to coach it?
But do you admit, and I'm not, I think Bill Belichick's an incredible, you know, he's a mastermind. But with the Giants, he had Lawrence Taylor. You know,
with the Patriots,
he had Tom Brady. I mean, when you've got the greatest players to ever play the game, it's almost like don't screw it up.
Well, exactly. And Jaywon Sider, who is an excellent running backs coach, he's been at Penn State now for years. The running joke that he and I have, and he's the one that started it. He came up to me in the practice field early last season. He said, "It's amazing how much better of a coach I became when I got Singleton and Allen." That's right. And I said, "Yeah, I know your image has dramatically changed." And at Pro Day, Mike McDaniel, who's the head coach of the Dolphins, so we're talking, Jaywon and I are talking with him, and Jaywon brought up the joke. And I said, "Yeah, Mike, he tells me that joke two or three times a year." You know, and it's a joke between the two of us. And Mike McDaniel looks at me, he says, "Steve," he says, "yeah," he says, "you'd be amazed at what kind of coach I am when Tua's out there." He says, "In fact, you know what?" He said, "When Tua wasn't playing, we decided not to run a whole bunch of plays. And then when he came back, we put him back in." it's like, these guys have the ability to laugh at themselves a little bit because they know that you can come up with the greatest schemes on the face of the earth. And I'll give you a great quote that Joe Paterno gave me one time. We would do the talk show in the conference room adjacent to the coach's locker room. And there's whiteboards in there. And one day we're doing the show on a Thursday night, and all these plays were drawn up on the board. So we got to a commercial break, and Joe gets up and he says, "Steve, come over here." He says, "Check this out." He says, "You want to know what the success of this play happens to be?" I said, "You're going to have to tell me." He says, "I want to know the name that's attached to that X, and I want to know the name that's attached to that O, and I'll tell you whether it works."
Wow.
That's okay. We'll come back. Headlines in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I'm back.
Time for headlines.
All right, Steve, why don't you get us started here today?
All right. Brian Cashman disinvited from Matt and Luke's birthday party.
Yeah, only Aaron Judge is invited right now.
Well, he's got plenty of time.
That's part of the reason
he's
why.
Got plenty of time. Was it between this and the other
Yankees,
summers?
Injuries and no depth at all. Anywhere because of one Brian Cashman.
Well, if you guys had just spent some money.
To me, there's no excuse not to have depth.
Yeah.
None.
So. There you go.
You guys had just spent some money.
I know. That's the problem. So, which leads me to this headline. I heard a quote saying, "We're doing our best patching holes." I thought that was from PennDOT, but actually it was from Brian Cashman. So, that's not good.
No. I don't. Baseball is the strangest game in the world. You know, baseball is hard to watch because when you watch hockey, you know, you got guys out there with broken bones still playing. The other night in the Red Sox games, one of the pitchers, they stopped the game. They sent two trainers out to the pitcher's mound with a fingernail clipper because the guy had a hangnail on his index finger.
Yep, I saw that. I was watching it. I saw that.
Yeah, you can't make it up. And then you put a hockey game on, and the guy gets slashed across the forehead with a skate, gets 17 stitches, and comes back out to play.
That is pretty sad.
There's no comparison.
All right, King, what do you got?
Well, we kind of talked about it earlier in the week that there's that the Boston media is putting out classified ads for head coaches for their teams if they don't win. You're fired. They want Montgomery out as coach of the Bruins, you know. This is the strangest media I've ever seen. And they get worse. They only find the negative in everything. So my headline is, what negative will the Boston media find this week? Because last night, They won by almost 40 points, and they were killing the coach for what he said in the press conference. And should he be coaching the team that he's not mature enough to coach a professional basketball? You're like, my God, you won by 40 points. What do you want?
What did he say? I didn't even see that.
I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
They turn you off so bad you don't even pay attention. He said nothing. This is what they do. They take anything that's said, and they will turn it into their own narrative. And it's really disturbing.
As Sixers fan, I'll take it.
It's very, very strange. The strangest. I listened to WFAN in New York City for 20 years. They never did this, you know. They were hard on their teams, but they didn't create their own narrative, you know. I bet he meant this. This is what he meant to say. You're like, how do you know? You don't have any idea. So, anyway.
All right, Steve, what's next?
What's next? LeBron James hits shot, named all-time greatest player on that shot. LeBron James gets rebound, named all-time greatest player for the rebound. LeBron James makes pass, called all-time greatest for making pass, puts it out on social media.
There you go. That's about right.
Who's better, Seth Curry or LeBron James?
Yeah, it's already started, yeah. That'll change night by night.
I know which one I'd pick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Steph Curry got Davidson as far as they could get in the NCAA tournament. That tells you everything.
Exactly.
He's a tremendous player.
Oh, I love watching Steph Curry play. Steph Curry, the difference between Steph Curry and LeBron, Steph Curry changed the game of basketball. Kids are now out there shooting three-pointers.
Yep.
Yeah, and that being said, LeBron's incredibly good.
Oh, my God. So no one's saying he's not great. Every time you say somebody else is a little bit better.
I would rather have Seth Curry. Right. I think he's more clutch.
Every time somebody says something about positive about somebody else, right? Well, but LeBron is like, I'm like, hey, just calm down. We're allowed to talk about other people. I get it.
Yes.
You're great. I got it. You're great.
Yeah.
Okay? You're great. In fact, I know. You remind me every day.
Yeah. There you go. So here's my next one now.
He's so good. I mean, he's got everything
he
would want.
Yes.
But
he's great.
Do you think his kid's going to be good?
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a good one. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He's only 6'3".
Is he going to college, or is he going to jump right to the NBA?
I think he's going to go to college. He has no choice.
Yeah.
He has to go to college.
Good.
No choice.
Speaking of who's bad, though, that's the Oakland A's, and I'm hearing that Chickalemme's requested them for their homecoming game this year, baseball, and more requests are coming from our area high schools.
I'll tell you right now, if baseball had homecoming, the A's would be on everybody's, they would be everybody's homecoming game. Come on out! Sell the ballpark out. It's homecoming here at Yankee Stadium, and we're guaranteed a win.